The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As every sector tries to reduce carbon emissions, what is the aviation industry doing in 2023 to make travel greener? Retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel and Safety and Security Auditor Kevin Byrne is on the line. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, driving an electric car, I sometimes suffer from range anxiety. Ask me to get on an electric aeroplane to cross the Atlantic. I think that range anxiety might be very high.
Indeed. And in fairness to the aviation industry, it is claimed by some experts that it pollutes the carbon footprint, so to speak, by up to 4%. I think it's more likely to be closer to 3% when studies are examined. But it would get bigger because there's a huge demand to go flying there now. Just in case of Ireland, we're going to be at 119% of our 2019 figures by next year, 2024. So the demand is ready and waiting. We all want to go flying again, having been locked down.
Okay, so the question is how to make it greener. Now, let's start with the easy bit. I mean, you've looked at airports all over the place.
Yes.
Can airports be carbon neutral?
And they're going that way very quickly. In fact, I first saw this on an airport, believe it or not, in where was it now? It was in China. And it was about 8 years ago, they had the flag up and saying we'll be carbon neutral in 2 years, because there is an organization which allows airports to be carbon accredited, and that's worldwide now. So they're taking huge measures very quickly. Let's have one example. There are huge need in airports. There's a huge need for electricity, as you know, because they have all types of things,
sure.
Air conditioning, lighting, radars, communications, always require 24/7 in many cases. And many, many airports are going now, believe it or not, to wind farms on land near them, smaller than you'd see, because, of course, they can't interfere with the aircraft operations. And many are putting, believe it or not, solar panels between their taxiways and the runways.
Yeah, there's a lot of green space. Anyone who's flown out of Dublin Airport or Cork Airport or whatever, you can see the green spaces all around. And between the landing lights and all the rest of it, which guide aircraft in, plenty of farmland, if you like, where you could put solar panels.
And the solar panels will generate enough electricity to generate all of the needs of the airport. And they will be converting, for example, the ground support vehicles, GSE as we call it. They're very efficient, but they use diesel fuel mostly at the time. We're talking about the buses, the baggage carriers, the fire tenders even, which are very specialised. And indeed, the aircraft tugs, which have to push back 300 tonnes. So to put an electric motor in that is very good. And they're going very rapidly into that. So in the next decade, we'll see an end to diesel-engined vehicles in most airports. They'll be electricity powered, and they'll be powered by probably power, you know, that is generated on site. So that's extremely carbon neutral. So I expect this to be very successful in the next certainly 15 years.
Mm. Okay, so that's the airport taken care of. Now, what about the aircraft itself? There are obviously different ways of fueling an aircraft. One would be, I presume, green fuel. The other would be electricity.
Yes, just to get rid of the electricity, so to speak. Last evening, I saw a report on television from Patrick Key. He's the European Aviation Safety Agency chief executive or director general. And he's saying that the air taxis we spoke about before, these electrically powered autonomous little taxis, will be in operation in Parisian airspace in time for the 2024 Olympics, which I thought was very early. And he said they will be fully certified to the aviation standards required elsewhere. So that's a very important element, I suppose. Once it takes off in one country or one city or one system, it will be, quite popular elsewhere. My only reservation is that it's an expensive way to go, because I think for the first couple of years we'll have pilots on board. I can't imagine, you and I getting into a two-seater and letting it fly automatically for 20 or 30 kilometres across the airspace at 1,500 feet. It's a leap too far, perhaps, in the short term.
More than range anxiety there, I'll tell you. Okay, but if you do have an aircraft and it's battery-powered, I mean, we all depend on batteries in our laptops and all the rest of it, and they rarely surprise us by going flat. We are given early warning. But I'm just wondering, if you're halfway across a sea and suddenly your battery starts to deplete rapidly, an internal fault in the battery, or even if the battery goes on fire, what then?
It's going to be a problem. Now, they're starting off with, I would call, small steps initially. For example, there's a Cessna Caravan flown by AirTech in the States, and that's been flying around with a battery only. Single engine, carries about 10 people. And moving up from that, having proven the safe flying hours on that, there's Air Canada, for example, in North America, have signed a a commitment to take 20 ES-30 aircraft. Now, they're a four-propeller aircraft flown exclusively by battery, and that'll be interesting to see how they go, because you're going to fly through the airspace, through the bad weather and that kind of thing. 30-seaters initially. Another people in Brazil have designed the Energia aircraft, something similar, 30-seater. Again, not driven by electrics, funny enough, but by hydrogen power to generate the two turboprops at the back. So with smaller aircraft, maybe batteries, I don't see a larger cross-Atlantic long-range aircraft using electrics alone, because it's just not safe, as you say. It's not reliable enough.
Okay, so therefore we have to be looking, if we're to make air travel greener, we've got to be looking at biofuels or that business of generating hydrogen on board. Now,
yes,
you say hydrogen and air travel, and I say the Hindenburg, 1937.
I know. Yes, that video was on the, it's going around even nowadays, that the Hindenburg was an airship flown on hydrogen, which is an entirely highly flammable, gas. This is not that at all. Airbus have released a good video, in fact, showing potential designs for their aircraft. They look quite similar to what we have at the moment. They would have generators on board, which using hydrogen cells would generate enough power to generate either propeller-driven aircraft or jet aircraft. And once that moves forward, we're in a different ballgame, so to speak. But can you do it commercially? Is it too expensive to do? The more you do of it, the cheaper it becomes and the more reliable it becomes. So I think that is the way of the future. Generators on board using hydrogen. Very safe, very reliable. There might be complications about refueling them, but I think we'll move from that. But in the meantime, there is another thing called sustainable aviation fuel. And have you heard of that, Pat?
I think I read something about Ryanair having a tiny fraction of its fuel being sustainable. I don't know how long it would take, if ever, to get to 100% of that kind of fuel.
I'm glad you asked me that question, of course, because it's the aircraft that are being ordered now won't be delivered for 2 or 3 or 4 years. There's a huge backlog in terms of Airbus and with Boeing, and this is good news from their point of view. But they're going to need liquid fuels to run these jet engines, because the engines last 20 years. It's as simple as that. And this is 2023, so they're going to be up there towards 2050. But what we have then is sustainable aviation fuel, and it's kind of a kerosene, paraffin, if you will, and it's made from hydroprocessed esters and fatty acids, or HEFA. I'm not sure what an ester is, but in any case, it's either cooking oil or something close to it. You can either use recycled cooking oil, or you can grow it. The problem about growing it is we can't take it away from the food stocks, and there'll be a demand indeed for this aviation or sustainable fuel, I should say, to run ships and to run vehicles on the road. So there's going to be a crunch point in a couple of years' time. But it's cheap enough to make, or will be, and airlines are getting into it in a very big way.
Mm. Is there any country, the way Denmark led the way in windmills, any country leading the way in sustainable aviation?
Yes, indeed. For some reason, Finland is involved in it now, and it's selling what it does. It converts basically oil refineries into making this stuff, and the more we do of it, the better. You think that aviation uses large volumes of fuel, and it does, and it's coming out of the ground at the moment. But let me give you a few figures, if I might, Pat. In 2025, they're going to make 7.9 billion litres of this sustainable aviation fuel, which sounds a lot, but it's only 2% of the total fuel requirement of the aviation industry. 10 years later, that'll go up to 91 billion litres, but that's only 17%. And the crunch point might be 2050. They're going to sustain 450 billion litres, but that again is only about two-thirds of what they think they'll need, because, of course, aviation is expanding all the time. Mm. So there's going to be a gap between what we use in 2050 and how we're going to fuel our aircraft.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the hydrogen fueling aircraft.
Yes.
And there's two ways of obviously doing it. You can burn hydrogen, create heat and so on, and propel something along that way, or the fuel cell. And there was a lot of talk in the motor industry of using fuel cells, which generate electricity in terms of the chemical reaction, and it's electricity that drives the car. Is that what they have in mind for airplanes, that the fuel cells are up there, and they'd be safer than, if you like...
Much safer. So in as far as I can see from the design point of view, the back of the aircraft won't carry baggage. It'll have this little fuel cell, which will be quite good. It'll generate vast quantities of electricity, and it will power basically what look like turbofan aircraft, engines on the wings and or propellers, depending on the type and size of the aircraft. So it'll be reliable, it'll be sustainable, and it will work very well because it'll be proven that it is no less inefficient and no less safe than the turbine aircraft we use at the moment. So I think it'll have to be proven. It'll take a couple of years, but it will be a leap forward in many ways. My concern might be about refueling the aircraft, but we do that anyway with vast quantities of fuel, and it's very safe. It's very rare to hear of a fuel fire as such, and we've ways of putting it away. So I think the future of aviation in the point of view of passengers and indeed cargo flights is very sustainable, and I'm happy enough to go forward with that.
Yeah. I don't know how long it'll take us to get over our anxieties about these new technologies. A very good friend of mine once had a small aircraft which had a parachute. Good morning, Liam. Good morning, Britt. I've flown in this particular aircraft. The problem being that if it had to be deployed in an emergency, the aircraft was effectively written off. But you sailed gently down and landed on the ground. I doubt if that kind of technology will be deployed for, 200-seaters.
No, it can't be done. In fact, it is not safe. But you're always better off flying the aircraft with what you have. You know, now there have been many cases where engines have switched off and aircraft have glided down. You know, and not to mention the case of Sully into the River Hudson, that kind of thing. But it's so rare. As I said before in this program, Pat, if you got on a commercial jet aircraft once a day, you'd have to get on it for 10,000 years before you could be assured of being killed. That's the kind of thing we're talking about in statistical terms.
Some of the texts coming in. Lots of airport parking in Europe have solar panels above the car parking spaces.
Yes.
It acts as a shelter for the user while producing power. The large open long-term car parks in Dublin Airport would be perfect. That's from Lorna. Good suggestion, Lorna. Go on, Kevin.
I'm just going to say every space now that used to have sand or grass, depending on where you are, can be converted to a solar panel that will generate more electricity than you need at the airport. You can then sell it to the grid, which is a good news.
But you can see in southern European countries where they have lots of sunshine, so they'd get really good output from their solar panels, but also you need shade. In the summer, at least, when you're walking to the terminal. So a dual function there. Batteries are not allowed on planes, and we want to run planes on batteries. What about the fire risk? We see in cars that fires are common enough. So David says, not for me.
Okay, but it will be tested to the nth degree, Pat. As you know, aviation doesn't accept something until it is at this very safe standard, built up over many flying hours and many years and so forth. It's done on evidence-based systems.
Why are people terrified of an electric aeroplane running out of battery power over the Atlantic, but have no problem getting into a flight that could just as easily run out of kerosene if the proper preparation... that's highly unlikely.
That has happened once or twice, yes. But
it did happen.
Look, it's very safe.
Okay. Kevin, fascinating stuff. Kevin Byrne, retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel and Safety and Security Auditor. Kevin, thank you very much for...
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Joining us.